The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the program today, Jess Montgomery. Hello, Jess.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Jess, I think we need to explain to our listeners out there that this is a pen name and that a lot of them are probably aware of you and familiar with you under a different name. Do you want to explain to them how that is?
Sure. My actual name is Sharon Short. So some of your listeners might know me as the literary life columnist for the Dayton Daily News. We share a page on the Dayton Daily News. And I had several novels published under my real name, Sharon Short. But the Kinship Mystery series, which kicked off with The Widows and is now followed by The Hollows, is a very different style than what I wrote as Sharon. And so my agent suggested, you know, hey, it's a new style of writing. How about a new name? So Jess Montgomery is who I became.
So from here on out, during this conversation, I'm going to treat you like I treated Ed McBain. I'm just going to call you by your pen name.
Cool. That sounds great.
Okay. I've been joined by Jess Montgomery, and as she mentioned, she has already put out a book in her Kinship series, and that book, coincidentally, as we are recording this interview, just came out in paperback today. Do you want to start by talking about that first book? Because it really lays the foundation for everything, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, it came out in trade paperback today, so it's been out for a year in the other formats. And it's called The Widows, and it introduces Sheriff Lily Ross, who was inspired by Ohio's true first female sheriff, Maud Collins, who became a sheriff in 1925 in Vinton County, Ohio, when her husband Fletcher was killed in the line of duty. And the next female sheriff in Ohio was in 1976. So quite a gap. When I found out about Maud, I was really just struck by her and inspired by the notion of a female sheriff in 1920s Appalachian Ohio. And I thought, well, you know, what if there were a character like her, didn't know why her husband was killed, and becomes sheriff and investigates. And so that's the premise for The Widows, but it brings together a lot more. It brings together unionization, coal mining, women's rights, workers' rights, the Prohibition era, and all that weaves together to kick off The Widows.
And The Widows just came out in paperback, and now coming this week, book two in the series. It's called The Hollows.
Yes.
And this book is inspired by a lot of things. And the Hollows is an actual facility that is based on a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah. The Hollows is based on what was at the time called the Athens Insane Asylum. And is now part of the Ohio University campus. It's a building called The Ridges. But in the 20s, it was an insane asylum. And I decided, because I was, you know, creating fictional scenes in the facility, that I would just rename it The Hollows Asylum for the Insane. And, of course, the word The Hollows is symbolic. I mean, Lily's, it's set in 1926. She's running for sheriff in her own right. She realizes how much she loves being sheriff, that this career has called to her, but that she would not have this career if her husband hadn't died. And so she's got what we would call survivor's guilt or depression. I don't know that she would have named it that way in 1926. So she's feeling kind of hollowed out. And then, of course, you know, in Appalachia, it's not The Hollows, it's The Holler, The Holler. So there's a little bit of play on that. There are a lot of roads in that area of Ohio, southeastern Ohio, that, you know, have the name Hollow, like Rising Creek Hollow or whatever. So it's kind of a play on all of those elements of the word hollow.
My guest is Jess Montgomery, and her second novel in her Kinship Mystery series is just coming out this week. And she's got an event coming up this week in Dayton, and we'll tell you all about that here in a moment. But first of all, I want to explore the fact that in a way, you have finally circled back to your roots.
True. Because as that other name, Sharon Short, I wrote two series, a mystery series. One was a Private Eye series with three books in it set in, at the time it was cutting edge. Now it's historical again because it was set in the 1990s just as computer databases were becoming part of investigating crimes. And then I wrote a comedic series, sort of social satire about a laundromat owner, also in southeastern Ohio, contemporary series. And then I wrote a standalone coming-of-age literary novel. So my writing is just kind of combines the growth I had as a writer with my literary novel, My One Square Inch of Alaska, with my roots in mystery. And so the two kind of come together, I think, beautifully. At least I'm enjoying it a great deal.
I was alluding more to your roots as being from Kentucky. I'm perfectly okay with the other roots that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But as far as your background
right.
and the people that you came from,
right.
it's kind of your roots there, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. My family of origin on both sides are from Morgan County in eastern Kentucky, which is the heart of Appalachia. I'm actually the first person from either side who was born outside of Appalachia. And I got teased a little bit about that by family, you know, that I was a Buckeye. But I was definitely reared by Appalachian parents. And, you know, as I was growing up, every month or two, my parents would say, it's time to go home. And of course, we're in our home. But going home meant going down to Grandma Lou's in eastern Kentucky. So, yeah, and I think maybe because I was born in Ohio, I felt for a long time like I couldn't write about Appalachia because I wasn't born in Appalachia, but I consider myself a child of Appalachia. So finally being able to write this was a lot like coming home. So,
okay. That's what I was talking about. We need to talk about some of the things that happened in the first novel to explain where we're at in the second novel. And I'm going to be very careful not to give away anything big, but we need to know, as you mentioned, this was inspired by real history by a woman in the mid-1920s who actually did become a sheriff mm-hmm. because her husband, the sheriff, died.
Right.
And you have the same situation in a way in the first book where at the beginning of the story, the sheriff is killed.
Right.
And she, his widow, is appointed to become the acting sheriff, but they mm-hmm. really don't expect her to do anything other than just be called the sheriff. They don't expect her to actually do what a sheriff would do.
Right.
And she defies them
mm-hmm.
and wants to investigate not only her husband's murder, but wants to do all the other things that a sheriff would do.
Absolutely.
And so when we get into the second book, it's clear that this is right after the last book ended. And mm-hmm. she is not getting over this. She is so engrossed in doing her job, but she's kind of freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
She isn't really dealing with her husband's death.
Right. Well, she very much loved him, and so she's still mourning him. And you know, everybody deals with grief in different ways, but for her, she kind of deals with grief or tragedy the same way I do, which is to sort of like dig down into work and like just try to like work your way out of it. Like if I ignore it and I work really hard, somehow on the other end, I'll emerge just fine. But of course, that doesn't work very well, realistically. So she finds herself kind of lashing out a little bit at her children, at her mother, at her friends, and catches herself doing this. And yeah, through the process of this book, she has to come to terms with, you know, she'll always mourn her husband. She'll always miss him. He'll always be a part of her heart. But life has to go on. You know, that's the only way to honor those we've lost is to go on in life. So, yeah, that's Lily's trajectory in this book.
And she also needs to deal with this subject as it relates to her children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another issue that you're dealing with here. And
yeah.
you have the mother that you referred to who has her own child who is the sheriff's brother, right?
Right. Yeah, Lily had an older brother named Roger, and he fought in what we would call World War I, what they would have called the Great War, and he did not make it out of the Battle of the Art and the Argonne. And so Lily's mama, who's called Mama throughout the books, has lost her son years before, is herself a widow, has a younger son, a turn of life baby, as they would say. And of course, you know, her daughter is working in a dangerous position for anybody, but you know, a little more shocking to the mama because Lily's female. So mama does have a lot to deal with.
Most of this novel is told from alternating points of view. We have the point of view of our sheriff who's investigating a new crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a dear friend of hers who is also someone who's going through a lot of turmoil. And I loved her point of view because
oh, good.
Her dear friend, the sheriff, is really not paying attention to her friend. She's she's not seeing what her friend is going through. And her friend mm-hmm. is going through a lot. Plus, there's a connection that her dear friend Hildy mm-hmm. had been engaged to the brother
right.
of the sheriff, who also didn't come back from the war.
Right. So Hildy is a secondary character in the first book. She's a friend who offers a lot of support and solace to Lily, but she's not super well developed because she's a secondary character in The Widows. And so when I was working on the next book, I thought, okay, Marvina is still part of the book. Marvina was the other narrator in the first book. But obviously Lily's got to be the center of each of these books. But who else from the community can she share this story with? And I thought, I want to know more about Hildy. You know, she's such a sweet, follows the strictures of the times, people pleaser kind of young woman. A little bit of me in there from years ago, I have to admit. And so I thought, you know, how can she break out of this? What is she struggling with? And Lily kind of takes her for granted at first. Mm-hmm. And Hildy really comes into her own by the end as a, you know, just into her own skin, into her own personality.
And Hildy's mother
oh boy.
Is very a very unhappy person.
Yes.
And we learn why
yes.
in this story. Can we talk about what Hildy's doing at all as far as her relationship problems? Can we mention that?
Sure, sure, because it's in the very beginning of the book. She's engaged to be married to a somewhat older man, but not shockingly older. Certainly would have not been shocking back in the day, who is very respectable. He runs the grocery store, and he's a good catch. And Hildy's mom is all for this. And everybody around Hildy feels like, oh, good for you, good for you. But Hildy has a secret, which is she's fallen in love. And again, it's shown in the first, when we first meet her, with Tom, who is the brother to Marvina, who's a unionizer and was the narrator along with Lily in the first book. And Tom is a coal miner and is not considered by Hildy's mom to be worthy. And so she starts out, it feels like she's torn between these two men. You know, does she take the path of what everyone thinks she should do or does she follow her heart? But it's not really a story of who will Hildy end up with. It's how will Hildy come to see herself and grow into being her own person.
Marvina and Lily are the two widows of your initial book
yes.
in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvina, mm-hmm. we also discover early in the book,
mm-hmm.
she's got something going on too.
Yeah. She's she's in love with another miner named Jurgis, and she has dealt with her losses from the first book in, I guess, a more healthy way than Lily. And she's also, you know, working as a union organizer still. And she's part of she helps Lily and Hildy solve the crime in the Hollows, but she's not a point of view character.
Jess Montgomery joins us. We're talking about her new novel, which is just coming out this week. It's called The Hollows. It's the second book in her Kinship Mystery series. And you can meet her as she rolls out the book right after it's published officially this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. She'll be at Books and Company, and that's at the Green in Beaver Creek. 7 o'clock, she'll be, I assume you'll be giving a talk and
signing
books.
Absolutely. Answering questions.
And that's the big rollout, huh?
That's the big rollout. That's the initial launch and my hometown launch as well.
That's pretty exciting.
I think so. I love Books & Co. and my hometown. So.
And here we are recording this on the date that the paperback of the first book came out. Mm-hmm. And then in a week, you've got the debut of the second book. How exciting is this when you spend all that time locked up writing and alone with your thoughts and your manuscripts and to be out and to actually have the books out? What's it like?
It is exciting. And it's exciting to meet readers, especially after they've read the book, and to get feedback from readers. I know with The Widows, it was both exciting and touching to get emails or to meet people at book festivals or book signings who did something that surprised me, which was they thanked me for, many of them thanked me for representing Appalachian people in a fair and realistic, non-stereotypical way. And also I was thanked for representing people who work in the trades in a again, non-stereotypical, intelligent way. And it surprised me because I thought, well, of course. And then I started thinking about how, I mean, there are some great Appalachian writers and there are some great writers like Steinbeck, John Steinbeck, who've written about people who are working class people. But there are a lot of stereotypes in literature and entertainment for both groups. And so it was just kind of a thrill to realize that I'd fairly represented both groups.
All right. We need to talk about what happens at the beginning of the story and how this becomes an investigation, because this is the thread that holds it all together.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Well, there's an elderly woman who's walking along the train tracks. We don't know who she is. There's no identification on her. And she ends up being killed along the train tracks. And Lily's called in to investigate. And the train is in a very remote part of her county. It's inspired by Moonville, the Moonville Tunnel in southeastern Ohio. I rename it Moonvale because I seem to keep renaming things for my own purposes. But it's one of these situations where Lily could, and some people kind of encourage her a little bit, like, you know, we don't know who she is. She's not from here. You could let this go. You've got a campaign to investigate, to focus on. And Lily's view is, if I'm to be sheriff and uphold the rule of law, I'm upholding the rule of law for everyone. It's not just for people I know or people that I favor. It's for everybody. And so that she goes from there.
It's for everybody except maybe a few moonshiners.
Well, yes. Yeah, so we do. She does, you know, she's human for one thing,
right.
But also, and she's, you know, it's a big county.
Right.
She does tend to look the other way, or at least she doesn't actively pursue moonshiners, you know, with as rapidly as she could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a matter of prioritization and practicality from her point of view, which, by the way, I'm exploring in the third book, because in writing this one and thinking back on The Widows, I realized, you know, she does just kind of, not necessarily turn a blind eye, but the crime has to be like right there in front of her if it's moonshining. And I think that was true for many, many law enforcement back in the day. So I thought we need to kind of explore that a little in book three. So
I think anybody that reads it is going to understand why she would look the other way for certain crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, she plunges into this investigation when she could be focusing on getting elected to sheriff,
mm-hmm,
as the actual sheriff instead of the acting sheriff.
Exactly.
And she's running her campaign against this guy who is kind of the classic, stereotypical, you're a woman, go home and sew and bake and do,
yep,
stuff that women are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very condescending towards her.
He is.
And he's married to a woman who is just nasty.
She's a piece of work, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to get into that aspect
of
the novel?
You tiptoe through that for me, okay?
Okay.
It's kind of a minefield for me.
Yeah, it is a bit of a minefield. I'll just phrase it this way. So when I am working on these books, I try to find something that's interesting or startling that I didn't know about that specific year. So in The Widows, for example, I referenced the Battle for Blair Mountain, which was a true battle that occurred in 1921, West Virginia, that Lily and Marvina, the narrators, would have been well aware of. So I pulled that thread in. Well, I discovered in digging into 1926, there was a group called the WKKK. And it was the Women's KKK, and it was its own group. It wasn't we're baking casseroles and sewing hoods for the men. It was we are an actual group. And there were men who divorced their wives for being in that group, for example.
Wow.
So I was really shocked to discover this. And I thought, okay, what if we pull this in, but also the Underground Railroad and Quakers in the area, and kind of like weave it all together. So yeah, Lily discovers that there's a WKKK cell, essentially, in her county. And she's shocked, too. And it becomes part of the story. So
that was very artful. I was wondering how you were going to be talking about the Women's KKK after what I just mentioned about the, you know, the readers will have to investigate that on their own.
Yeah.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your home for independent news and handpicked music. It's the Book Nook, and my guest today is Jess Montgomery. Her book, The Hollows, just coming out in hardcover this week, and her first book in this series, The Widows, just coming out in paperback. She has got an event in Dayton this Wednesday, 7 p.m. That's Wednesday the 15th. She'll be at Books and Company to celebrate the release of these books in those formats, and you can come out and meet her. And many of you are familiar with her already as Sharon Short, the literary life columnist in the Dayton Daily News. And as you mentioned, we do share a page in the Dayton Daily News and the Springfield News Sun, and it's a lot of fun, isn't
it? It is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. You have a mystery here.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a thriller, and it's a romance.
There is a bit of romance, yes. Yes, with for the thread of Hildy and her romance with Tom. So,
there's a little bit more on the periphery, too. There's some other things building here, but I'm not going to talk about what they are. But there's at least three women here who have romantic things going on.
This is true.
One of them is Hildy, who, you know, she's doing the main thing here. She's got the main thing. In fact, there's actually four. I forgot about the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's another romance.
That's an important romance.
Okay, there
to
you
the plot.
Go. Okay.
Yes.
So there's actually four.
Wow.
And there you go. And our sheriff, she is the least active romantically.
Because
she's busy investigating a crime.
And she's still mourning Daniel as well.
But she's got some thoughts far in the back of her mind, some thoughts that when she thinks them, they kind of make her blush a little bit, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, she's only human. And she's only like 28, so 29, somewhere in there. So
young.
She's very young, yeah.
Life isn't over when you become a widow in your 20s.
Absolutely.
Life's got to go on.
It does, yeah. So you have to, you know, wait for books 3 and 4 to see what happens there.
Oh. And is this going to be a series that just keeps chugging along? Do you have any idea on that? Or?
I'm contracted through books 3 and 4. And I hope there's more after that. I actually have ideas for books through book 8. So, but I kind of had to do that to figure out actually what I was going to write in book 2. I figured out where do I want these people's lives to go, even if they never have to solve a mystery, and sort of I've been building them from there. So I'd love it to continue for beyond book 4, but we'll see.
Well, I've got to say, this story really flows. And as a reader, you just get this feeling that you are feeling so assured of where you're going with this.
Oh, good.
And you just really are into the flow.
Good. Thank you. Yes, I kind of go into a zen sort of mind space when I'm writing, and then sort of emerge from that world, and then kind of go back with a cooler eye to revise. But I find myself just sort of tumbling into this world when I'm writing.
Are you already writing the third book?
Oh, yes. It's due in a couple months, so I'm definitely writing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're getting ready to publicize book 2 and book 1 again, and book 3 is
in the works.
In the wings.
Yeah.
And how do you separate all that in your mind? Do you have like certain days where you say, I've got to go write, I'm not going to deal with anything else, no more distractions, no publicity, nothing?
You know, it's always tempting to do the publicity work because, well, it's a little easier for one thing, and it, you know, it's affirming. But then I remind myself, if you don't have anything that you've created, there's nothing to publicize. So I try to do my writing first. Sometimes I can't. You know, like this week there are several pieces that are due that I really do have to focus on those. But most of the time my creative writing comes first, and then I take a little break, and then it's publicity time. And the majority of my time is spent on the writing, as it should be.
It sounds like you write in the morning. Do you give yourself a goal as far as, I want to do this many words, I want to do this many pages?
Yeah, when I'm drafting, my goal is to do 2,000 words a day, which is about 8 pages. But, I mean, it's 8 pages of clay, essentially, that I know I'm going to reshape later. Those 8 pages might turn into 3 good ones, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my goal, yeah.
Well, this past year that just ended in 2019, I had Louise Penny back on the program.
Oh.
I also had Ann Cleaves on the program, and I would like to point out it seems rather auspicious that the three of you all have the same publicist. Are you aware of that Sarah is the publicist for them too?
I knew she was Louise's publicist, yes.
And Ann Cleaves.
And Ann, wow, I'm in great company. With Sarah and with both of those wonderful writers.
I'm a huge Louise Penny fan.
Oh, yes.
And Ann Cleaves, I'd never interviewed her before and actually was able to get an interview while she was over here. And some of our listeners out there are going, Ann Cleaves, where did I know that name? Well, if you watch programs on PBS like
Shetland.
Vera,
yeah.
Shetland, she is the one who created these stories that are being adapted into television. And she's got a new series that she just started.
Right.
Which is already being considered for another TV series.
Oh, so that's wonderful.
I was thrilled to get her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a pretty cool thing that you all have the same publicist, because I don't think that they assign her to just anybody.
Yeah. She's great. If you're out there listening, Sarah, you're great.
Oh, she'll be listening. All right. Hi, Sarah. Thank you. Don't forget, Jess Montgomery will be at Books and Company this Wednesday evening. That's the 15th. Books and Company in the Green in Beaver Creek, introducing the rollout of her new novel, The Hollows, and also the paperback of the first book, The Widows. And what kind of stuff do you normally do when you do an event like this? How do you approach it?
So I'll read from the opening of The Hollows. It opens with a prologue. So I'll set the stage and then read from that. And then talk a little bit about the book and the themes and where we're going with it. And then I really love the Q&A part. I love to hear what readers want to know, whether it's about the book or about the writing life, because then it turns into a discussion, and I really enjoy that part. And then after that, sign books.
I thought your favorite part would be when you see the line of like 3,000 people all wanting your autograph. I thought that might be your favorite part.
I love interacting with readers, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's an honor. You know, nobody has to read this book, so that the fact that they do and that they're interested is a real honor.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Book Nook. My guest has been Jess Montgomery. Her book is The Hollows. It's book 2 in her Kinship Mystery series, and you heard about it on The Book Nook. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks, as always, for tuning in.